The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live, and I hope you're going to have a good time listening today. Don't know what we're going to be talking about. It all depends on you. On the callers, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And for those of you who might be tuning in new, say, well, what's this show about? Well, it's about Christianity. And Christianity deals with all areas of life, every single area. And so we talk about everything. And talk about all kinds of stuff, theology, politics, we talk about all kinds of stuff. Of course, I'm trained in theology and been studying apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith, and things like that for about 41 years. So, been doing that for quite a bit. All right. Now, if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. So if you have questions about why is there bad stuff happening in the world, why does God allow this, who is God, how do you know which God's true, how do you know Christianity is true, just basics. We like talking about those things. And if you want to watch the show, all you got to do is go to carm.org, carm.org, in the right-hand side of the homepage. You will see the link there. To watch, you just click it, and then you go over to the Odyssey thing, and you can watch there. Not a big deal. Oh, that reminds me. So, if you're interested, you can sign up for Odyssey. We want people to do that because we're moving away from YouTube because of its intolerance, and we're moving to something where your freedom of speech is more guaranteed. So I say things about COVID. I say things about politics, and I say that there are things we shouldn't be doing, but mainly, the talk is about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That's who we talk about. That's what the whole issue is about, is Him. He's our Lord and King. All right, see? Pretty easy, pretty simple. So if you want to call, 877-207-2276. Today I released an article, and we'll get to the callers here in a second. I released an article, it's on which is better, natural immunity or vaccine immunity. And I quoted five sources from both sides. That's all. And there it is. You can check them out. You can check the sources on your own. There's counter information on both sides and supporting information on both sides. And what I want to do is give people information so they can make their own decisions. And that's it. See? Quick and slick. Pretty easy. All right. Let's get on the phones here with, that would be Will from Des Moines, Iowa. Will, welcome. You're on the air.
How are you doing today, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. More hanging than in there, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm trying myself here.
Yeah. So what do you got?
I had a question. I've been just roaming through the New Testament and ran across Romans 13, 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how that has to retain with the new COVID mandate.
We are, what Romans 13 says, for those who don't know, is that we're to submit to the governing authorities over us. And that is correct. We are to do that. We should do that. And if we don't, there's some problems. However, there is a limit to what we're to submit to. We are not to submit to things in the government that are ungodly. But the government says everybody has to approve of homosexuality, we Christians will say no. If the government says, you have to kill your unborn, we say no. Things like that. Now, when it comes to the COVID thing, constitutionally, the Biden or the Brandon administration does not have the authority to mandate vaccines for everybody. It's obviously being shut down, that statement, that desire. So, do we have the right to reject that? Absolutely, we have the right. I'm saying that people should be informed about the vaccines and make their own decision. That's what they got to do. I don't care either way. You do what you got to do. But
and also say,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the only other thing that relates to this is I've done a lot of research on COVID, and there are lots of counter, lots of evidence about side effects, about adverse reactions. And there's well over 850,000 that have been reported to the CDC. And from what best of my research I can find from the CDC, 13,000 deaths have occurred that are definitely vaccine-related. And all vaccines combined up to that point, a couple weeks ago, when I did my research, all vaccines combined, excluding COVID, there was only 9,183 deaths. But COVID's had over 13,000. In just a year and a half. Yeah. So, do we submit to the government when they want this? Well, me, I'm going to say, no, I don't want to do this. It's a risk. It's a health risk not to take it. It's a health risk to take it, in my opinion. And so I have reticence to do it. So if I don't want to do it, it would be under the guise two reasons. One, self-defense, because I don't trust the vaccines to be that effective. And there's too many side effects I'm aware of. And the other one is they use fetal tissue in their development and testing. I don't want to benefit from the killing of the unborn. Okay?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I mean, I went through COVID, and I don't. My whole family went through it. We have that immunity going on, and I don't want to go out and get the vaccination.
Right.
And what would you have to say about that new mandate dealing with Los Angeles and the COVID and having to get their vaccine?
I think the employees of the city are requiring to get the vaccine. Private businesses, from what I understand, have that right to be able to say you need to get vaccinated. I'm not against vaccines. When I worked at a hospital, I had to have certain tests done. I submitted them wholeheartedly. But they were, tetanus shot and things like that, which, no problem. But as far as L.A. goes, people have the right to refuse and suffer the consequences either way. And they should not be shamed. It's not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's not correct. In fact, there's turning out more and more evidence to show that the real problem now is among the vaccinated. More and more, they're the ones who are ending up in hospitals. So I have a quote here.
What I've heard. Sorry.
I was going to say, while it's impossible to. Go ahead. It's all right.
From what I've heard on this broadcasting, this news broadcasting, that you can't even go into shopping or do anything without a proof of being vaccinated.
Yeah, that's that to me is Nazi tactics. Do you have your papers? You can't buy, sell, trade, move, do this, unless you have your papers. This is another reason I'm very, very resistant to the whole thing, is it's a socialistic, communist, totalitarian kind of rule to say to the citizenry that you can't buy or sell unless you have the certain papers. The papers in this case are vaccination. And there are reports that show that natural immunity is better, longer lasting than the COVID vaccine. In fact, this is in MuVision.com, MuVision, that is, while it's impossible to know whether that's the case, the public health officials are grappling with the reality of an increasing number of fully vaccinated Americans coming down with COVID-19 infections, getting hospitalized, and even dying of coronavirus. Now, that's just a little a quote I just put in just to whet the appetite. There's lots of reason to be concerned. So here's the question. This is what I ask people all the time who say, I need to get the vaccine. I need to because it's the right thing to do. It's patriotic. It's all of this stuff, which I don't buy that it is. If the vaccine, if the COVID thing is so bad, would they have to shut down entire economies for it? Which I have a question, because an H1N1 flu virus that came through in 2009, there was a 6.67% fatality rate, but here with COVID is 0.27. Why didn't they shut the economy down then when it was worse? They didn't, and you don't hear about these statistics, because it doesn't serve the political end. That's my opinion. If the vaccine is so good and COVID is so bad, we got to be careful about it. Everybody's got to wear masks, which aren't effective. And I can talk about that if you want. Then why is it that the United States government is opening up the borders and letting thousands and thousands and thousands of illegals come in against the law and not requiring vaccinations, and then sending them out into the middle of the night flights, different parts of the country? So why are they requiring us to wear masks to get vaccinated, yet they open up the border to people who don't wear masks and aren't getting vaccinated and then spread them into the country? It, to me, it's not an issue of health. It's an issue of political power. That's my opinion.
Do you think they're getting, like, kickback financial incentives in order to have all this, all these vaccinations get put on people?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any information on that, any documentation, but I do know that Pfizer and Moderna and all these companies that do all this stuff, that their sales are in the billions now. Billions. So, you know, and they skipped a lot of steps in order to get the vaccine put through, and I have an article on that as well. They skipped all kinds of trials and stuff and pushing it through. And so, I mean, me? I'm just this way. I just don't follow the crowd. And I want to make sure things are kosher. And I've been doing my research now for about 6-8 weeks, a lot of COVID research. And I am I'm convinced that we don't need the masks, that they really don't help. Cloth masks are only 3% effective at best. Surgical masks are about 50% average effective. And N95 masks are 95% effective. Now, that's what you should be wearing if you're going to wear anything. But once you wear a mask and you touch it with your hands on the outside to adjust it, you've now contaminated the outside. And who knows what you put your hands onto and touch, because the coronavirus can survive on the surface for a while. You put it to your mask and you're breathing it out towards people, and you think you're covered because you have a mask. And yet you could be spreading it inadvertently. And these are facts. So also, they cause anxiety. They cause rashes. Dysfunction in oxygenation to the brain. Plus, they can be breeding grounds for germs, because you breathe moisture into the mask. They stay on for hours and hours. Then it's a breeding ground under a perfectly warm environment for germs to be passed on. You're supposed to change the masks periodically, and if you don't, they become breeding grounds. And so people will take the mask, they'll wear them, they'll put them in their pockets, go to the store, put another something, touching shopping carts, adjusting their masks the whole bit. It's useless to do it. It's my opinion. I have to say that, my opinion. All right.
Well, I understand that opinion quite well, too. Mm-hmm. And I have another question.
Sure.
It's definitely off the topic of this, but if you have a little bit of time.
Sure, real fast.
Okay. I have children in school, and I was worried about this transgender issue. Mm-hmm. If they are so concerned with competing, why can't they make their own section for competing?
There you
know,
go.
Like male.
No, you can't do that. The reason you can't do that, according to the left, is then you're recognizing that there's male and female. Because if they had their own group, then the males and females could be separated. They could have their own little trans group, but that would be admitting there's females and males. We don't want to do that, because then it might, it doesn't suit the lockstep propaganda stuff that's going on.
Okay. So I have to suffer through the matter of some boys believing that he's a girl going to my daughter's
right.
locker room and having to get dressed and all
yeah.
that fun stuff.
There's a meme yeah. going around that guy who's a trans dude, and he thinks he's a woman, and he's in charge of all kinds of stuff. I forgot his name. And he's a woman, but yet that black woman who won in Virginia, I think it's Virginia, is somehow a white racist, a white supremacist. It's just, the world's just screwed up. That's why we need the truth of God's word. All right, buddy. We got to go, buddy. All right? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt Slick. I hope you're doing well today, sir.
I am doing well, by God's grace. So what do you got, man?
Good deal. Mm-hmm. I have to apologize. I'm asking a repeat question.
That's all right.
I'm going to try to write it down this time, date time for the show, so I can reference back to it, so I don't have to ask you a third time for the same question.
That's all right.
Uh-huh. my question is, what would my kind of quick 30-second pitch be to somebody who I would offer to get into apologetics? Like if I say, hey, take apologetics because of X, because of this reason.
1 Peter 3:15. Because what it says there, and I'll read it to you. I can quote it, but I'm going to read it. And what it says is this. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense. That word defense in the Greek is apologia. Okay. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. That's why, because the Bible tells us to.
That is a very good answer, and I have that written down. Let me ask a follow-up question. So it could be a defense to anybody who asks. How would it be different from Bible study?
Well, apologetics is a branch of Christian theology that deals with a defense and the establishment of the Christian faith. A Bible study goes through verses like you might go through the book of Ruth, like I'm teaching through the book of Ruth on Thursdays. So you go through the book of Ruth and just exegete what it's saying. Now, apologetics would be, why is Ruth in Scripture? What's the evidence for Ruth? What's the inspiration of Ruth, etc.? Apologetics would deal with, how do you know God exists? What's the evidence for righteousness, for good, for bad? How do you know the Bible's trustworthy? But Bible studies, you just study the Bible. People already believe these things. And so generally, apologetics is for the unbeliever, but also for the believer, for the defense of and the establishment of the Christian faith. So what I'm doing now with you is apologetics, you know, is giving a reason, you know, and you do that in the Bible as well. So all apologetics involves Bible study, and all Bible study involves some apologetics.
Just okay.
To overlap.
Very good answer. That was very thorough and very informative. I appreciate it.
So would you say it was quick and slick?
I would say it was quick and slick. Yes, I would.
All right. Well, hey, you know, that works. All right, man. Thanks a lot, Jamal. You too. God bless. All right. Quick and Slick. For those of you who might be new, my last name is Slick. It's not a radio name. It's my real name. So you listen to Matt Slick Live, and it works great for radio, doesn't it? Let's get to Dion from Salt Lake City. Dion, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to jump back just a minute and talk about your communism, but I want you to answer a question on the Bible for me.
Sure.
But it's not what you believe. You're believing the truth. So, Khrushchev wrote, September 9, 1959, your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism upright, but we will keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you finally wake up and find you already have communism. We will not have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give it to those who would not.
Yep.
That's where our country is headed, and I don't know why we don't have more people defending our country. We just sit here and watch the country be taken inch by inch, our economy, everything. I don't understand. Where is our country? Why don't we rebel?
Ooh, I like you. I'll tell you what I think, okay? I think it's because the men have been gutted and castrated, and men are afraid to stand up now. Masculinity has been under attack. Not to knock women, but it's not the women, generally speaking, who push revolutions, who push back against unrighteousness. It's men who do this. Men go to war. Men stand up for truth. Men do this. I'm not saying advocating war here. I'm just saying this is what we need. We need masculine strength. But masculinity
is... They're trying to ruin the masculinity. Uh-huh. All this started back in 1960 with Women's Lib.
I think
it was the worst thing that happened to our country.
It's bad.
Because I think men deserve that. But anyway, enough on that. I agree with you 100%. I'm in a small Bible group, and we're studying Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
And the second chapter is all about humility. People in the church, where I'm better than you, I know more than you, you do it this way, blah, blah, blah. And so he's trying to teach these people to be unified. And he uses Jesus setting aside his Godship and took on a servant.
No, it's not accurate. That's not accurate. He did not set aside his divinity, okay? Just so you know. I know.
He set aside his, yeah. I understand that. But in verse 2 or 3, the word I'm looking at is better. And it says, don't be, let's see, I've written over my words. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. That word better has become a little bit of a problem. What does that really mean? What does that Greek word really mean?
It's the Greek
one
word.
One of my versions says more important.
The Greek word is hupereko, and I'm just not from memory. I'm reading it. Okay, that's the Greek stuff, and it means to hold over, to extend over something, to be over prominent, extend over, generally and particularly with the genitive of person, the dative of manner. Forget all that stuff. Super eminence, equivalent in meaning, to be superior in rank and dignity, things like that. So, hooper means above, greater than, a kind of stuff, you know. The hypersonic, you know, flight is even faster. So that's what's going on. So,
Well, that's the worst sin I think that our people have, is trying to be right. And they'll argue till they're enemies because they just won't listen to the other person. I got to be right. I got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think it's horrible. I'm really trying to learn that lesson because I kind of am a know-it-all. And I'm trying to be more humble.
Yeah, me too.
Know?
Absolutely.
But that better.
You're right. Well, we got to go. There's a break, okay, Dion? We got to go. There's a break. So call back later, okay? We'll talk some more about it.
Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. That was Dion from Salt Lake City. Three open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show, or welcome back, I should say. Just want to give you a quick reminder that we're moving away from YouTube and going to Odyssey. And all you got to do is go to odyssey.com, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com, and register there, and not a big deal. And then you can just type in the word CARM, C-A-R-M, and you can follow us. And that's what we ask. Real easy. Odyssey. ODYSEE.com. Let's get to Darlene from Virginia. Darlene, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you today, this evening?
I'm doing fine, by God's grace. Thank you. So what do you got?
Amen. Hey, listen, I just want to clarify something.
Sure.
I'm a nurse practitioner, and I work in the field of occupational environmental health.
Okay.
And I just wanted to clarify something that you said about the mask, okay?
Sure.
Because some people think that the tighter the fit, the better the protection. But in your investigation, if you would look at Cochrane, C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E, review of literature.
Wait a minute. Let me spell
that
out. Where's that again?
Okay.
C-O-C-H.
It's Cochrane, C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E.
Yeah.
And it is like where we go
org?
When we're...
Cochrane.org?
Review of Literature.
Cochrane Review of Literature. Okay, I'll
review
check it out.
Review of Literature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then
mm-hmm.
go and then do a search on there for use of masks in the slow of a respiratory virus. and you will find 67 studies from 2009, including the H1N1 virus, all the way up to 2016.
Yeah.
And there's little to no evidence that wearing a face mask does anything to slow the spread of a virus or protect you. What I'm finding on doing pulmonary function tests on people to clear them to wear a respirator, people that wear the mask on a regular basis, their lung function is diminishing up to 20%.
Whoa.
And that's from breathing in your own CO2. And your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up because your body's trying to defend itself from the increased CO2 levels in the bloodstream. So an N95 mask, really to be able to wear that in the industrial and occupational environment, you have to have a pulmonary function test with a forced vital capacity and an FEV1 of at least 70% or above, or you cannot wear a respirator.
Wow. Okay, I got a question for you then.
And so, okay, go ahead.
Okay, my wife had open heart surgery, and so one of the things they had to do was give her a respiratory, that little thing you suck air through, and it gives the valve goes up. Okay, so I can make it go to the top, but she can't, of course. Well, women have lower respiratory capacity than male because they're just not as big and as muscular and stuff like that. So, in light of that. Does that mean then that women would have a rougher time with wearing a mask? Or is it proportionally okay or
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
No. Women do have a harder time breathing through the mask. And, I mean, you just go, when you go the next time you go out to the store and you watch these little people walk around with these masks on, and the ones that, the KN95, you know, the ones that are, come over from China, and they're really plastered to their face.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling to walk because they just can't breathe.
Well, you know,
and it is not good.
My research has shown that with mask wearing, and I've got the documentation on my website. I've been doing a lot of research on it for months.
Okay.
Skin problems, sinusitis, headaches, fatigue, increase in stress hormones, negative impact on immune resilience, or face masks prevent the mirroring of facial expressions, potentially leads to significant increase in social psychological stress, behavioral problems, weakened immune system, anxiety and depression. That's just from one article that says.
That's absolutely correct.
And
it does little
to
nothing. You want to know what really does slow the spread of a virus?
What?
You ready? Wash your hands.
Okay.
Soap and water. And just FYI, and this is no joke. I mean it. People just don't know. But the use of the alcohol-based hand sanitizers.
Yeah.
If your hands are not wet for 1 minute, you're not doing a darn thing.
You
so
have
the
to
one
wash your
kill time.
Really?
You,
without alcohol based ones?
You know, if you use hand sanitizer and you rub your hands together, right?
Yeah.
Your hands have to be wet for 1 minute to kill the coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
1 minute. Mm hmm. Now, who does that, right?
Not me.
And with Lysol? Me either. Lysol, 4 minutes. The surface has to be wet for 4 minutes with use of Lysol.
Wow.
Bleach, probably pretty quickly, but nobody wants to advocate, including myself, you know, washing your hands with bleach.
Well, see, I believe in strengthening your immune system, so I go to the grocery store, touch everything I can, come home, touch everything I can, start coughing out loud, and to see what my wife does. And she usually frisbees me dinner from about 20 feet away after that, but it's worth it to me.
I'll tell you. Well,
so
listen.
I'm looking at the Cochrane.
If you think about it, you're right.
I need that documentation. Could you?
All right.
Okay, I'm looking at it, but I'm not sure I can find it. Could you actually find me the link if it's not too hard and then just email it to me at info@carm.org?
I can. Because
I will. What's your
email again?
Info, like information, just info@carm.org.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Have you ever been to the website?
I will send it to you. I don't think so, but I've been listening to you for some time.
Check it out.
And I'll be happy to send you that, and I'll be happy to send you just FYI, and here's another tidbit.
Yes.
If your vitamin D3 levels are up around 50 and you're doing 30 to 40 milligrams of zinc a day, a virus can't live in your body.
You got to write that out. And if I can get documentation,
I'll send you a copy of it.
Okay. See, because I'm a, I want it. I'll put it up there. Because I'm a theologian, I'm not a trained doctor, you know, so I have to put a disclaimer on everything. But I point as much as I can in my COVID research to documentation from official sources. And one of the things I found out by going to this.
This comes from the front line.
That's what I want.
This comes from the front line. Front line doctors, yes, sir.
Oh, yep. I need it.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you what I have.
Yeah, I'm coveting your information. You see what you're doing to me now, making me covet.
No, don't covet it. Just pass it on because people really need to know.
And yes,
like you said, women don't need to be the fighters. Men do.
That's right.
We all need to stand up, and we need to fight against this tyranny.
Oh,
That's what we need to do.
It is tyranny. And as a previous caller read from Khrushchev, it is true. They are destroying us, and the left is helping them. And the Brandon administration is assisting in the downfall of our country.
It is. It is.
Yes,
But I will tell you this, and I didn't make this up. Amir Zarfati, I don't know if you know who he is or not, but he is a Messianic Jew who lives in the Golan Heights of Israel, and he comes over and visits with Jack Hibbs in California. And I heard him say quite a while ago, but he said, listen, the devil has been really smart with this, okay? He said, the whole world now has been desensitized to putting forth your hand or your forehead to having your temperature taken. Now, where's the mark of the beast? And I said, oh, my goodness. And then he said, I don't think the vaccine is the mark of the beast. However, it has, again, desensitized the whole world into listening to the voice of authority tell you you have to take something.
Ooh, I like that.
And I was blown away by that.
I'm writing this down, and you may hear me repeat stuff like that. Because
it's true, though.
Yes. So I've been doing research for 41 years, and I know what cult mentality is and control markers. In my opinion, masks are control markers. We don't need them.
Yeah.
And we are being conditioned. And as I can tell you eschatological things, what to watch out for, but I'll tell you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Yes, it is. It is. And you know how the devil has used it to desensitize the world. I believe truly, truly in my heart of hearts that the Lord is using it to separate the wheat from the chaff. And, I mean, I just ask myself, I ask my patients, I ask my family members, are you standing on faith or are you standing on fear? Are you following God or are you going to follow the government?
You need to be my neighbor. Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. I will send you the stuff on email. I will.
All right, darling. God bless. Please do. I'll be
you
checking.
You have a great one. God bless you, sir.
You too. God bless.
Okay. All right.
Hey, folks. That was a great call. I love that. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, the last segment. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ken from Toledo, Ohio. Ken, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, sir?
By God's grace, doing quite well. So what do you got, man?
Absolutely. Well, we're on the same page, and I just thought maybe it would be a good thing to remember or to mention that all we really need is Psalms 91. God's got our back. We don't need the vaccine. And I'm okay with not wearing a mask and all that good stuff. And I've actually seen a one-world government coming for about 25 years. I read a book called Say No to New World Order by Gary Allen. He was a Christian. He finished the book on his deathbed, and he told how the government can't just come out and dictate whatever they want. So what they have to do is create problems so they can come up with the solution, and it's called management by crisis. And actually, before Obama got elected the second time, I lived in Sylvania, Ohio, and they passed out these movies called The Dreams of My Real Father. And Obama was being interviewed by a news lady, and she asked him a question, and he said, yes, that's my Muslim religion. And she goes, don't you mean your Christian religion? And he goes, oh, yeah, that's what I meant to say, my Christian religion, because you're allowed to lie for Allah.
Right, taqiyya.
And then, and before he was elected the second time, he had us signed on to the United Nations. He predicted the virus, and Joe Biden's following in his footsteps. But you know what the best thing is? God's still on the throne, and even the wicked are servants of God. They just don't know it. God said
That's
he
right.
saved the evil for the last days. And so all we really need is a bag of popcorn, and we can sit back and watch the show.
But Jesus did also say, prepare and run to the hills. And what he's meaning by that is there's a time to flee. There's a time to be aware and take action. And
well, he was talking to Israel at that point.
Yes, but also, just so you know, the Christians also took that, and in the 60s and 70s of the first century, they were fleeing just based on that. And then it's also in what's called partial preterism, the view is that it'll also be the case later on. But I'm with you, and I'm checking this book out, Say No to the New World Order. It's only in paperback. I do everything on Kindle, but maybe I'll order it anyway and check it out. There's also a book called En Route to Global Occupation. I read that like 30 years ago, and that one was kind of scary. So there's some stuff in there.
Well, what do you think about Israel when they became a nation in 1948? The Bible says all prophecy will be fulfilled before that generation passes away, and that was like 72, 73 years ago. And I was talking to a gentleman earlier today, and he said a generation is actually 100 years. Is that true?
Well, generation, the way it could be there, generally it's understood to be 40, and it could also be 120, because that's how many days is the limit. And so when it says this generation will not pass away, does it mean that those who are born, say May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, the day after that they were born, that's part of that generation. If that person lives to be 100 years old, it'd be 2048. So does it mean that?
Right.
And so this is the question. We don't have an exact answer. But I do know that in the Six-Day War was started when a guy, I forgot who, it was the name of him, he was going to go through a certain gate that has been sealed. And the legend around the gate, it's in Israel, says that the next one who goes through will be the Messiah. And he said, I'm going to break it down and go through it. And the Six-Day War started right there. And there are stories about the Six-Day War. One of the ones I heard that just blew me away, two Israeli soldiers were in a tank, and they were about out of fuel, they were out of water, their radio wasn't working, they were looking for the enemy to surrender to, because that's how far behind enemy lines they were, and they were going to surrender because at least they could survive, even if they weren't well-treated, but they'd have water and food. And they were looking for the enemy to survive, and when they came up over a hill, like 300 of the enemy, Arabs, were all on their knees with their hands behind their heads and their weapons piled in a pile. And they came over the hill and they looked, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. They drove the tank over to some machinery and adjusted the frequency for the radios there and called in for reinforcements on the enemy's machinery. And the enemy wouldn't do anything. They just stayed there with their hands behind their heads. And then the Israelis came and captured them all. And when they interviewed them and they asked why, they said, because we heard the army coming up over the hill. And it was so big, the sound of it was so huge, that we knew we could not survive it. So we surrendered before it even got here. It was one tank. Stuff like that.
Well, I
happens.
Heard that America is one of the few places where Christians aren't getting their heads chopped off.
That's right. And Britain and Australia. But yes, more Christians died for the faith in the 1900s than all of history combined.
Well, what do you think about when Jesus said, if you got two coats, they'll want to buy a sword? I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want you taking a knife to a gunfight, right?
Right. That's Luke 22:36.
Nothing wrong with our Second Amendment.
That's right. That's Luke 22:36. And the sword.
And they're trying to take our guns away.
We have the right of self-defense, but not the right of vengeance. And I wrote an article about this, and it's being distributed all over Nigeria right now, that they have the right there to defend themselves against the tyranny of the Muslims. Not that they're not extremists, they're true Muslims, because that's what Islam teaches is killing. Yeah.
Well, I heard a sermon probably 15, 20 years ago. Back then, if you take Chicago, L.A., and New York out of America, we would only be at 3% of the gun violence in the entire world.
Absolutely.
And that's where the strictest gun laws are, all run by Democrats.
Democrats, yep.
And where the strictest gun laws are is where the highest crime rate is.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler basically said, before you can take over a nation, you have to disarm it.
Disarm it, and you need the children. And so that's why they started the propaganda machine, in order to get the children so they could have brown shirts to turn in people.
Oh, yeah, they're brainwashing them in school. They're not teaching them how to think. They're teaching them what to think.
That's exactly correct. Oh, yeah.
I got a question for you.
We got callers. We got a Can you call back tomorrow, though?
Well, I got a real quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a sticker on the back of my truck I got from church that said, Muhammad is dead and Jesus is alive. And today was the first day I ever had somebody confront me about it and basically said it was wrong for me to knock somebody else's religion. And I just told the guy, Jesus loves him, you know, and I know I've done my homework. And
he was
Jesus
knocking you for your religion
100 times. Is there anything wrong with me having that on the back of my truck that Muhammad is dead and Jesus is alive?
No, Jesus rose from the dead. He was crucified, even though Surah 4:157 says he was not crucified. Islam is a false religion. Muhammad was a false prophet. Yeah, put it on your bumper and stand for the truth. Okay?
Right.
All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Gotta go. Okay, we're out of time. Let's go. John from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So, you have some pretty strong callers that call in.
But, I know.
You know, I'm just a weakling. I just want to know a couple of questions. My first one is something about 1 Timothy 1. I think that's the passage about women prayer. My second question is...
Let's do the one at a time. What's your question about the women preachers, teachers?
Right. It says in the Bible that they're not supposed to be preaching. So I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah. Do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but remain quiet, for Adam was first created. And I speak on this frequently, that women are not to be pastors and elders. And I can go to those verses, 1 Timothy 5:17. I can go to Titus 1:5-7 and 1 Timothy 3, roughly 3-8, and cross-reference it with 1 Timothy 3:15. And the issues here are that women are not to be pastors and teachers and elders over men in the church context. And the fact that they are is just another example of apostasy in the Christian church. And if you go to a church that has a woman pastor and elder, and I know there are people listening to me, I know they're out there in Carolinas and stuff like that listening to me right now. If you go to a church that has a woman pastor and elder, you need to stop and need to submit to the Word of God, as does that elder or that woman, because it's unbiblical. And I would be glad, love to, come on out there and have a public debate discussion on it. Just pick the time, pick a church, I'll fly out, and we'll have a discussion, and I will show you why it's wrong for a woman to be a pastor and an elder, and what the deleterious side effects ramifications are of it, particularly for men. Okay, what's your next question?
My next question is, thank you for that. I've been fighting with that, but my next question is, if the COVID shot that the government is making people take is supposed to save our life, then why are they offering money to get people to take the shot? And then on top of that,
I don't know.
When I went to take my shot, because I work in the healthcare field, so I have to take the shot to keep my job. So when I went to take the shot, they wanted to charge my insurance card. So my question to you is, how is it free, and why are they lying on television telling everybody that it's free when they're charging our insurance?
Good question. There's inconsistencies all over the place. If COVID is so dangerous, we got to be vaccinated, why are they opening the border and letting illegals come in all over the place,
exactly,
non-vaccinated? We're being conned. We're being conned by our government and the leftist news media. Someone's got to say it, and I'm saying it. We're being conned. We got to stand up.
And right in front of our eyes.
Right, have it right in front of our eyes. And there's a lot of people, they're jackboots. That's what the Nazis wore. They're jackboots. It's just a phrase that means they walk in lockstep with the status quo without real serious independent thinking, and they do what they're told and go where they're told. Okay?
Wow. I really appreciate that. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless. Let's get to Larry from Dayton, Ohio. Larry, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Sure. Just a couple quick questions.
Sure.
In the Bible, I know Jesus did a lot of teaching in parables.
Yes.
What is the teaching there about if your eye tends you to sin, or your hand cut it off or pluck it out? What is this teaching in regards? Well, how does that actually mean to us?
It's hyperbole. It's exaggeration. What he's doing is demonstrating that sin is so bad that we should have nothing to do with it. It's better to be maimed than to go into sin and enter into hell. Pluck it out. But he's not saying actually pluck it out. He's saying this is it's hyperbole.
Another question then quickly. What does he mean when they say things that are bound on earth are bound in heaven, or loosed on earth, loosed in heaven?
John 20:23, and the Catholics use it a lot. We'll have to call back tomorrow about this because we're almost out of time. But it has to do with the authority of the Christian to be able to proclaim what has already been bound. Because it's in the perfect, I think it's perfect participle, which means it's a past action that's completed with an ongoing action in the present, and it's not completed. That's a pluperfect. The perfect tense, past action, that's occurring in the past and is continuing in the present, and so that the sins that you have forgiven have been forgiven already. That's what's going on. Call back tomorrow. We go through the Greeks more slowly. Okay.
Hey, thank you much.
Sorry about that. Okay, and sorry about that, Marie from Richmond, Virginia. Portals in your room. Oh, call back tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. All right, everybody. Sorry about that. We are out of time. May the Lord bless you. I hope you enjoyed the show today. It was an interesting one. And by God's grace, we're back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.